Grace, mercy, and peace to you from him who was, who is yet to come, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Revelation 1, verses 4 and 5. Amen. It'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. There is an imaginary story told about a man who was walking along a beach, and as he is walking along the beach, the sun is setting and he's looking up, and then all of a sudden he stumbles over something, and it happens to be a lamp. And so he reaches down and he picks up the lamp and starts dusting the sand off of it, and as he is rubbing it, of course, what appears? A genie. And the genie says, "I will grant you only one wish." The man's first thinking, how come I don't get 3? But no, the genie says, "I can only get you one wish." So the man thinks real, real hard and says, "Well, really should plan for the future. So if I can get the business section of a newspaper, maybe the whole newspaper, a year from now, I can invest money and I will make lots of it and I will be a multimillionaire." And so he says to the genie, "All right, I got it. I got it figured out. I would like a newspaper 1 year from now telling me everything that's happening in the world, along with the stock exchange, and of course the sports too, because I'd like to know who's won the Super Bowl next year." And so instantly the newspaper appears, and the genie disappears. The man starts leafing through the paper, and he says, "Oh, that stock is really going up very well with McDonald's and Coca-Cola. I better make sure that I put some money in that." And he gets through the sports page and he's thinking, "Well, it looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to win the Super Bowl this next year, so I better put some money on them." And then after he gets through all the sections of the paper, he gets to the obituaries. And there's his name. So much for insider training and knowing about the future. One of those 3 people who have talents in our parable today has some very basic information about insider trading. And I bet you can't guess which one it is. It's this one. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you have ought to have done this." The man with the 1 talent had the knowledge of insider trading. He knew his master was tough and hard and expected a lot of his servants. But because he was afraid, he let his fear take over the fact that he wasn't going to do what his master wanted. So much for insider trading. This parable is about knowing something. This parable is about gifts. And this parable is about action. The knowing part. The person who goes away. You and I know him. We've known him a long time. Most of us have known him all of our lives. And we're coming to the end of the whole church here, so we kind of have a clue. That's Jesus. Jesus is talking about himself in this parable. He's going away. He went and died. He rose. He ascends back to heaven. And he says, I am going to be coming back at the end of time, or I'm going to be coming back at the end of your life. And then you're going to go home in heaven with me. Your soul will leave this body and will float there, and then that soul will be reunited in a new body at the end of time. Whatever the case may be, Jesus is coming back for you who believe. And so guess what we are? We're the servants who receive the talents. We have the knowledge. But just because you know something doesn't mean you really have power. We can know a lot of things. We can know the weather and not do anything about it. We can know something terrible about someone and not warn another person about them. We can know, perhaps, what could happen in the future if you don't fix something. But if we don't do it, knowledge is not power. It's just a bunch of facts. Kind of like when you play Trivial Pursuit, or Bible Challenge, or Bible Trivia, or one of those other games. It doesn't accomplish much in itself. You got to do something with it. And so Jesus gives his people, you and me, talent. Now it's very interesting when we get to this part of talents in this parable, because a similar parable is told by Luke in his gospel. And when Luke is talking about talents, he's talking about all those unique gifts, like you can sing, you can write, you can serve, you can pray, you can teach, you can give financially, you can do many things in the business world in sharing your faith. When Luke is talking about talents, he's talking about the whole person. But you remember, this is Matthew's gospel today. And what was Matthew? A tax collector. And so when Matthew is talking about talents, he's talking about money. I know how many times I've looked at this gospel and I said, really, Matthew? Really? There's so much more. No. He's talking about money. A talent. A talent is 50 pounds of gold. I don't know what the market rate is for 50 pounds of pure gold today. But that's what the master gives these servants. And the last time I figured it out, one talent, was worth $1 million in our currency today. Now that is a lot of money. So the servant who doesn't use his talent has $1 million, and he decided not to put it in the bank to collect interest, even at, what is it today, 1.5%? Now, we have to admit, none of us would be stupid enough to put it in the ground. So, if the other one has two talents, he's got $2 million, and the one that's got five talents, he's got $5 million. And so the person that goes away expects some return on the finances. And what I really think about God in telling this parable is reminding us that whatever we have, we're to act with it. Action is involved. It came to mind this past week while I was reading the Lutheran Witness and the latest statistics about how every church in America is going down. Not just our denomination, but every church in America, every church body, every denomination is going down in the number of believers. Why is that? Maybe we haven't invested enough. The average age minister in our church body is 51 years and 3 months old. So that means 50% of our ministers are over age 51 and 50% are under age 51, if you figure it out roughly. My father had this concept of investing that I've never heard of before, and it was because of his relationship with my grandfather. My father said, "You know, Travis, I believe in my kids. And when I die, there's not going to be much to inherit. Unlike Grandpa Milton, who left everything for me after he was called to heaven, I'm doing something differently. And it's this. Your mother and I will probably have two or three jobs between both of us. You will work too. And you're going to go to college. And if God still is calling you to be a pastor, we're going to help you to get through seminary. And we're going to pay for that. And that is your inheritance. Your education, we're giving it to you now. Because I would like to see how God works in your life and what he's going to accomplish now while I'm here on earth and I can see it." And that's the greatest advice I've ever received about finances, because I've done the same thing for my children. I want to see now what God is going to do in your life, because when I'm in heaven, I'm going to be with the Lord and I'm going to be thinking about him. I'm not going to be thinking about you on earth. God's going to have to take care of you after I'm gone. But in the now, I am going to invest in you, and I'm going to say, here, run with it. Let the Lord guide your life now. And you are people of action too. People who invest in the now for tomorrow. When you built this church, there are many people that took mortgages out on their own homes. That's people that live in the now for tomorrow. And as you think about your life, what do you want to see in your family, in your community, in your church? What do you want to see before you get to heaven? I'll be honest with you. God loves a cheerful giver. So don't feel guilty if you don't give 10%. Don't feel guilty if you make a promise and all of a sudden the talent changes on you. There's a financial crisis that happens. You lose your job. You can't follow through on your promises to support an organization or a church. God knows you're trying. And that's what he asks of the people in the parable. Try. Don't just put it in the ground. Try. This is not one of my favorite parables, I'll be honest with you. Because I keep wondering, have I tried enough? And God's answer in mercy is, hey, you tried! And that's what the person with 2 talents did, and 5 talents did. They tried, and they didn't know that it was going to grow, but they tried. While the other one just gave up. Don't give up on yourself, or your church, or your country, or your community, or your friends, or your family. We are fighting the good fight. And as long as we're fighting, we're doing something. Because God doesn't ever give up on you. He's going to come back. He doesn't give up. Amen.